Blog Talk Radio.
So, the show is about living your life by design, and tonight our guest expert is Steve G. Jones. Now, Steve is a hypnotherapist, an NLP master practitioner, and trainer. He holds a Bachelor of Science degree with a specialty in psychology and cognitive psychology, a Master's of Education with a specialty in adult education. He also holds an Educational Specialist degree and a Doctorate of Education degree. Whew, that's quite a list. He's been in private practice as a clinical hypnotherapist since 1986. He is a leader in hypnotherapy, and it is my great pleasure and honor to welcome him to Your Life by Design. Welcome, Steve.
Well, thank you, Melanie and Donna. It's good to be here.
Steve, as a student of yours, I am in your NLP practitioner course at the moment. As a student of yours, I'm very excited to have you on the show. You've opened many channels for me. And so to get started, I would like to ask you first to explain what hypnosis really is.
Hypnosis is a relaxed state of mind in which you're more suggestible, so you can change. And it's just and hypnotherapy is a way of combining therapy with that, relaxing a person to that state of mind, and then putting positive therapeutic thoughts in their mind, such as stopping smoking, losing weight, becoming more motivated, more confident, and so forth.
You know, I took a few hypnosis seminars in the past and saw the value of hypnosis firsthand. I've been in the medical field for, 20-some-odd years, and using it in the medical arena, we're able to suture lacerations without anesthesia. We help people who believe themselves to be claustrophobic have CAT scans and MRIs without the anxieties of being in small places. But I also know that there are some people that are not receptive to hypnosis because of the myths that of someone controlling your mind, so to speak. Can you dispel some of those myths just so we can get over that issue of people not believing that this can work?
Sure. And we have two separate myths there. We have the belief that it won't work and the belief that it's so powerful that the hypnotherapist is going to control your mind and make you do things you don't want to do. So both ends of the spectrum are incorrect thinking, actually. So the myths, the audience members can let go of them. First of all, hypnotherapy does work. Otherwise, the American Medical Association would not have approved it in the 1950s. And by the way, they still approve it. It was first used in the 50s medically when a thyroidectomy, the removal of a thyroid, was performed without any painkiller, just words, just hypnotherapy. So if you can numb pain for surgery and the American Medical Association approves it, then I believe that's testimonial enough and we still have their approval. But the other end of the spectrum is that you'll be under the zombie-like trance induced by the hypnotherapist, and that's perpetrated by movies such as Curse of the Jade Scorpion by Woody Allen, in which someone gets programmed to do something and all the person has to do is call him and say, Madagascar, and the person goes and robs his next-door neighbor or robs a bank. Of course, it's Woody Allen doing it. And so those movies are fun, but they're not real. It's not something that we use for evil purposes. It's not something where we control your mind. It's something where we get in there to your mind, your subconscious mind, bypassing your critical factor, and we reprogram you to do what you want to do, to stop smoking, to lose weight, to be more motivated, to overcome your fears, to live the life that you want to live.
Oh, that's fantastic. I have more questions for you, but it's funny. I already have a caller that would like to ask a question, so I'm going to try to bring that caller online. Or maybe they've hung up by now. Let me just try to. There we go. Caller, are you on the line? Area code 803. Well, I'll just leave that line open. If that caller wants to ask a question, then they can go ahead and ask a question. So, Steve, can you explain how hypnosis works?
Sure. Well, the way I do it, the way I use hypnotherapy is I have a five-part process, which I teach in my hypnotherapy certification course. I relax the person using an induction, which is just a talk about walking along the beach or walking in the woods or something very relaxing. And then I go into the deepening, which is usually the sun setting. You're deepening the deepening part is making the trance deeper. So you do that by telling them the sun's setting, and as the sun goes lower, you relax more and more, something along those lines. And then the script, which is where we're giving the positive message for change, stopping smoking, losing weight, getting more confident, or what have you. And then the fourth part of the process is amnesia. And people may wonder, why would you want the subject to forget what you've done? And the reason is we don't want them consciously analyzing it afterwards. So it's an attempt to scramble the memory of the session for their own good. Because if I'm telling them they're going to lose weight and they're telling themselves, no, I can't lose weight, then they're working against themselves. So to scramble the memory of the session is to the advantage of the patient. After amnesia is transtermination, and that's just where we bring the patient back up. We count to three usually and tell them they're going to get up and then they can leave the office. Or if we're making a recording for them, we're going to tell them that they're going to go into a restful sleep so they can use the recording at night at home and they're going to wake up in the morning.
Now, can everyone be hypnotized?
Can everyone be hypnotized? Is that your
yes.
question? Well, yes, they can, and I was addressing this question recently. It's a great question. Everyone can be hypnotized, but not everyone will get the change that they want with hypnotherapy. So everyone goes into hypnosis every day when we relax a little bit, when we kind of space out or drift off or daydream. That's hypnosis. Your brain is slowing down to beta, which is a little slower than full awakening consciousness. Sorry, your brain is slowing down to alpha from beta. So beta is where we normally are, cycling about 850 cycles per minute. Our brains are. We can measure that. And when we slow down to alpha, we slow down to about 600 cycles per minute. And we do that all throughout the day. We go from beta to alpha all day long without even realizing it. And when we're in alpha at 600 cycles per minute or lower, we're in hypnosis. So we all can and do go into hypnosis all day long. But not everyone will get the change they want. Not everyone who goes to a hypnotherapist will lose weight or stop smoking because nothing is 100%.
Okay.
Very good. Is there anything that hypnosis doesn't work for?
Well, I'm not thinking of anything. I mean, there are always cases where it doesn't work, but they're not. It's not as if overcoming fear of large animals is a category that doesn't work, because it does work, but in some cases it won't work or it doesn't work. So I'm not aware of any category that's set in stone as a category that will not work. I have yet to see someone make someone else levitate in hypnosis, although I've heard about stuff like that. I have yet to see that. But I'm not saying it can't happen, because I believe anything's possible, but there are certain things that I have yet to see. But I've seen all sorts of ailments and fears and so forth be very quickly eliminated with hypnosis. So I'm not aware of any category that will not positively affect when it comes to self-improvement.
Well, I asked that question because I went onto your website and was just amazed at the number of subliminal downloads that you have available and the things that people can take care of just by the subliminal messages, which I suppose is a form of hypnosis. Is that right?
Subliminal recordings, we have about 230-some-odd subliminal recordings. That is one of the 25 or so categories of recordings that we have. And subliminal messages are similar to hypnosis, but a hypnotic state is not required. It's from that famous research from the 70s where, you know, you're watching a movie and all of a sudden they flash Pepsi really fast, and you don't see it, but your subconscious mind sees it. So with subliminal recordings, as opposed to hypnosis recordings, what we do is mask the words. So I've got all the positive suggestions on there, but you don't hear them clearly because I've got music over that. So all you hear is the music and ocean waves and so forth, and your subconscious mind is able to hear the words because they are under there. They are audible. It's just that the music is also audible and a bit more audible. So your subconscious mind is able to pick that apart and get the message, but you don't consciously hear it. So you can listen to those while you're driving a car or, you know, or doing pretty much anything. It's not actually hypnosis, but the concept is the same. It's a way of delivering a message to the subconscious mind.
Oh, that's brilliant. And I would just suggest that anybody out there that's listening have a look at his website, because I don't know how many I've downloaded to this point, but I am just finding great results in the short time period that I've been using the subliminals with just about everything that I've downloaded. Steve, can you quickly give your website, and then we'll get on to more questions?
Sure. My main website, I have probably 100 of them, but my main website is stevegjones.com, stevegjones.com, just my name.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you for that. So now, as I said, I am a student of yours, and I'm taking your NLP practitioner course. And Steve, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, sorry. I heard everything go blank for a minute there, and I wasn't sure if you got cut off. But as I was saying, I am in your NLP practitioner course. Can you explain what NLP is?
Sure. NLP is neuro-linguistic programming. And by the way, for that, what, can I mention that website?
Absolutely.
That's hypnosis. I know it's NLP, but it's hypnosiscertified.com/NLP. hypnosiscertified.com/NLP. And that's where you're going to find actually the best offer for that. But NLP is neuro-linguistic programming, and it was started by Richard Bandler and John Grinder in the late 70s. And two guys in California who were pretty bright, and they got together, and they said, hey, I'm a linguist. The other guy said, hey, I'm getting a master's degree in psychology. How can we help people? So they started studying what other people who do successfully help people are doing. And so they modeled a few people who were famous in their time who were helping people. And they took from that certain ideas and they added to that. And NLP is one of those things that it's kind of like a swarm of butterflies or something. It just gets bigger all the time. More butterflies are added to it. So if you studied NLP in the 80s, for example, when I did, and then you study it again now, you'll find out it's a much bigger body of knowledge because it keeps getting added to. All kinds of people add to it all the time. But essentially what it is taking the associations you make in your mind and kind of playing with them a little bit. So if you associate pain with a relationship, for example, then through NLP you can form a new association. A relationship can mean pleasure, or at least not pain. So it sort of opens up possibilities. If people are overeating and they think of food, certain types of food, ice cream and cake and so forth, as being wonderful and tasty and great and giving us comfort, then we can, through NLP, form a new association where those foods don't mean those things. In fact, they become repulsive, so we stay away from them, and we're able to lose the amount of weight we no longer want or need. So essentially NLP comes down to, although it is much larger than this, essentially it comes down to forming new associations.
Well, that's fantastic. Cool. You know, as a coach myself, I've seen the benefits of NLP. This is before I started taking your course, not only in understanding clients, but also in teaching them how to use their language for success. Can you give a few examples of how you can use NLP, how you use NLP with your clientele to change their language?
Sure. I always have people, well, to just change their language, I just tell them to change their language. For example, I hear a lot of people coming in and saying, can't do this, can't do that, or I have to, you know, I clean that up. I point that out to them. I say, you need to stop saying that and start saying this. So instead of saying, I can't do this, I have them catch themselves and politely correct themselves by saying, I choose not to do this, or I haven't done this yet. Because to say I can't makes it impossible, and we know that nothing's impossible. So that's how I get them to change their language. I just tell them to do that, and they either do it or they don't. But through NLP techniques, you can get people to start feeling that from the inside so that they want to change their language.
Donna, did you have a question? I interrupted you a minute ago.
So what would be the major benefits of hypnosis and of NLP? And how can we benefit from both?
Well, the major benefits are just whatever the client wants to work on. So I see clients for all sorts of different things. You know, weight loss and smoking cessation being the top two. People want to lose weight and stop smoking. But I also see it, you know, and I used to have my office in Beverly Hills, and when I was the hypnotherapist to the stars, I would see a lot of actors and directors come in, and, you know, and Tom Mankiewicz, who wrote Superman the movie, he came in. Actually, he wanted to stop smoking. I do see writers come in sometimes for, you know, increased creativity. As far as the main benefits, I would categorize it as the same thing in NLP and hypnotherapy, just to change what you're doing, it's either to stop doing something or to start doing something, but to make some sort of change in what you're doing. That's the main benefit of both.
The power of thoughts.
Right.
Yes. Think about what you're thinking about.
There you go.
Go ahead.
Which part of the brain does it affect when you're doing hypnosis?
I don't know.
Or if you know, you said, or NLP, you mentioned increased creativity. Obviously, catches my attention right away because I'm most of the time in a creative space, and you know how they say creative people are right brainers, right? And the left brainers are people like people in the medical field will be left brain. Now. Can you enhance through hypnosis and NLP for the other side of the brain? Let's say you increase creativity, but you want to remain grounded. Can you measure that?
Well, first of all, when we get into a discussion of the brain, realize that a lot of what we've been taught is wrong. Remember when we used to learn that there were different parts of the tongue that corresponded to the sweet and bitter and so forth? Then about 5 or 10 years ago, medical science came out and said, wait a minute, sorry, we got that wrong. You can taste anything on any part of the tongue. Sorry, kids, that we taught you the wrong thing for 50 years. So, and we're learning the same thing with the brain. We used to think left brain, right brain, everything segregated and everything happens in a certain place. Now we're finding out the brain is extremely versatile, and a lot of things happen in many different places and form these neural networks. So if we lose part of our brain where we thought was the only place that we could do something, another part of the brain can kick in and take over. So the answer is yes, we have tremendous flexibility in teaching different parts of the brain to do different things, but it's mainly because what we all learned in school was incorrect, and now medical science is coming out and saying, sorry, we got the tongue thing wrong and the brain thing wrong, please forgive us. But as it turns out, the human body is extremely versatile, and that's why we're able to do that.
That's fascinating news, actually.
Well, there's a question in the chat room. It says, do you have to have a belief in hypnosis to be hypnotized?
You do not have to have a belief in it to be hypnotized. In fact, many of the striking examples of hypnosis are stage hypnosis, where, you know, people go to a stage hypnosis show, and you have somebody who goes with a friend, and they say, I can't be hypnotized. My brain's too powerful. The next thing you know, they're up on stage singing like Dolly Parton or thinking they're Madonna, and then after the show they forget everything they did, and their friend after the show says, I thought you said you couldn't be hypnotized. And they said, what do you mean? I didn't do anything. They forget the whole thing. So some people who think that they can't be hypnotized are extremely suggestible and are in fact what we call somnambulists. Somnambulist literally means sleepwalker, but in the world of hypnotherapy it means people who are very suggestible. So you do not have to believe at all in order to be hypnotized. Now, in order to pay a hypnotherapist and go into their office and work with them week after week to get the change you want, I think you have to have some level of belief. Otherwise, you wouldn't invest your money. So that's the only time I think that the belief becomes necessary is when you're, you know, pulling out a Visa or a MasterCard to pay a hypnotherapist. But you really do not have to believe in order for it to work.
Now, there's another caller on the line. I'd like to give the caller a chance to ask a question. Caller, go ahead and ask your question.
Hi there, Steve. I've been a subscriber to your website for about almost a year now.
Oh, wonderful.
And I thoroughly enjoy your MP3 downloads.
Thank you.
A question I have for you is, how often must we listen to these? Is it a once and done thing? Is it a once and done thing? Or, I mean, do we keep listening to them over and over and over again until they finally just sink in? Or is it something where we just can do once or twice and then it's done?
Well, what I, great question. And what I recommend is that you listen to any recording that you get from any websites that sell my products, which are there are now probably thousands of different ones that sell my products. We have affiliates and so forth on the internet. But no matter where you get my products, I recommend that you listen to them for 21 nights. Let's say, for example, you find my platinum level weight loss recording, and you've purchased it and you're wondering what to do with it. Listen to it every night as you go to sleep. Let it put you to sleep, and don't worry if you fall asleep during it, but do that for 21 nights in a row, and then thereafter as needed. I don't want you to be addicted to it for the rest of your life. You just listen to it for 3 weeks every night. If you skip a few nights, that's fine. That's another question I get a lot. And then thereafter as needed. Let's say you start, you know, slipping back into your old habits and you feel that coming on. You know, listen to it for 3 nights in a row if you need a little boost along the way. So that's the way to use the recordings, 21 nights in a row, and then thereafter as needed. Now, some of my recordings, since I've got 4,000 of them, some of the different categories of recordings, like subliminal that Melanie was mentioning earlier, are designed for daytime use. So you can go about whatever it is you do during the daytime and not have to, you know, be real quiet and listen to it at night or anything like that. You can just do whatever you're doing and have it playing in the background. Those I also recommend listening to for 21 days in a row, and one listening per day is fine. Some people put them on a loop at night and listen to them all night long. That's not necessary. You can, but you don't have to. There is a little bit of a gain, but not much when you do that. But whatever recording you get, whether it's a daytime or nighttime recording, 21 days or nights in a row, then thereafter as needed every now and then.
Okay, well, I appreciate it. I did see quite a bit of success back in March, April when I used them. And, of course, sometimes slipping back into those bad habits, but I will definitely bring them back out and use them again.
Wonderful, wonderful. And it's no different for me. People think that, you know, I've created all these recordings, now I've solved all of my own problems or challenges, and I'm free of challenges, and that's really not the case. Every now and then, you know, for example, when I'm about to fly in an airplane, I'll listen to my Overcome Fear of Flying recording just to get myself back in the groove and make sure everything's okay. So just feel free to use them as a little boost every now and then. But I just don't want people to become dependent upon them. So 3 weeks and then pull it out every now and then if you feel you need a little boost.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Steve. I do enjoy learning from you. I see you have a lot of things on YouTube as well. And I'm also, hopefully, maybe one day you can get back on this radio show, too, and talk about some of the other topics, especially the, and I know this is a totally different topic, but the Akashic Records really interests me.
Oh, that was a great program that we created recently, the Akashic Records. Yeah, that's that is an entirely different topic, but when you get into metaphysical topics, it just opens up a whole world of possibility. I'd be honored to do that.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, that's interesting. I was actually going to ask you about that later on in the show, but if you want to make that completely different show, that's fine with me.
Oh, we can talk a little bit about it. That's fine. I mean, any of these topics would be a completely different show, actually.
Yeah, excellent. Okay, well, we'll touch on that in just a bit. That was great. I wish that the caller wouldn't have hung up so quickly because I would have asked him to give an example of how your work has helped him. But maybe he'll call back in.
Good.
So now I understand that you do a lot of hypnotherapy. Have you heard of a type of therapy called imago therapy?
No, sounds Asian.
No. No, it's apparently this is the way it was explained to me, that it's a type of therapy where the therapist moves her hand or his hand in front of your face in sort of a curved way, and it helps you go back to whatever issue that is causing your problems and reorganize it, so to speak, or think of it in a different way.
That sounds good to me. I, having lived in California for 4 years, I heard about probably a new therapy every day of my life when I was living there. And nowadays we get emails and I hear about a new therapy about once a week. Doesn't mean they're even new. It just means that I haven't heard about them before. But that sounds like something I'd like to explore and find out more about.
I found out about this therapy probably, maybe 10 to 15 years ago. I actually got to experience it for a short time just to find out what it was about. And it was, I'm not quite sure what it did, but it did something. So I was just hoping you could shed a little bit of light on that one.
I wish I knew. I'm kind of like the oil change guy. I mean, you can learn about NLP and hypnotherapy from me, kind of like the oil change guy will just do an oil change. But if your engine breaks down or if you need window tinting, you've got to go somewhere else. So,
right.
hypnotherapy and NLP is what you can ask. Other than that, I can't guarantee anything.
Now, Steve, you mentioned to listen to the recordings for 21 days. Usually in NLP practice, we hear that very often, that you want to either break a pattern or develop a new habit, do something for 21 days, use affirmations for 21 days. Is that an NLP practice? Is that proven that 21 days truly does make a change, permanent change?
Well, in scientific research, we never use the word proven. We always stay away from that. Even in physics research, they steer away from that. We say, demonstrated, or there's been a correlation found. So the answer is no, though. After all my scientific explanation there, the answer is no. We have not found a solid scientific evidence that points to a correlation between listening to something for 21 days or nights and getting the change you want, however, or forming a new habit. However, we have found a significant correlation between doing something repeatedly, although the time is not written in stone, it's not necessarily 21 days, doing something repeatedly and having it become part of your life. So we just kind of take the average. For some people it's going to be shorter, for some people it's going to be longer, but people don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that for some people it's, 3 days, and for some people it's 30 days. So we take the average. On average, it's going to take about 21 days to form a new habit.
Okay.
Steve, I had a follower write an email to me after they found out that you were going to be on the show, and it was a very long email, so I'm going to just paraphrase this email. But she described an issue that she's having with her father. Her father has got a bipolar disorder, and she describes him as being evil and very mean, and that he's been that way since she was a child, and that her mother died at a very young age, so he's been the primary caretaker for her. Now she's his primary caretaker. He's in his, I believe,
tables are
yeah.
Turned. Oh boy!
Yes, the tables are turned.
Doesn't
she's
sound
in her.
Sounds like a movie.
Okay. It's quite a movie. The tables have turned. Yes, he's in his late 80s and just as mean and vile as ever, according to her words. And she feels guilty for feeling the way she feels, but at the same time, she feels that she has the right to feel the way she feels because of the way he's treated her over the years. Is there anything that you, as a hypnotherapist, or as an NLP master practitioner, would do to help somebody in that situation?
Who needs the help at this point? I think he might need some help, but because he's in trouble now. But would she want some help to deal with him? Is that it? And not
she wants some help. Yeah, he's in the state of the bipolar disorder is in its worst state. And she says she also feels that probably there's a little bit of Alzheimer's kicking in.
Okay, we have a recording called something along the lines. It's something for caregivers, and it's under the health products at stevegjones.com, and it's designed to help caregivers, people who are giving of themselves. I remember my mom died when I was six. And I remember what my dad went through, and this is kind of based on that. Just giving those people who are caregivers that oomph they need to recharge their batteries and to deal with that. Now, there are some other issues, obviously, with that, which you know, at this point in the game, I don't really think they're worth getting into, because he's so far along in life that, you know, statistically speaking, he's not going to be around much longer, unfortunately.
Correct.
He could live to be 130, but odds are against it. So, you know, at this point, she really needs to say, okay, what happened in the past is the past. It's bipolar anyway. That's causing it. Now we've got Alzheimer's, so I'm not going to take revenge. And she needs to put that out of her head, if that's even an issue, which I kind of thought I heard some potential undertones of that. And then she needs to, I would get that recording, which is going to give her the recharging that she needs. And pretty much she just needs to realize that she needs to do the right thing, which is, you know, take care of him and put up with him. And, you know, we all have to put up with something in our lives. And realize that, if I heard correctly, that's her father, is that right?
Yes, it's her father.
Okay, so show him the love and respect that he deserves, because she wouldn't even be here without him. And does that answer the question, or was there another angle you wanted to look at it from?
No, I think that's perfect. Well, another angle I'd like to look at it from it too is, you know, from a very young age, I'm sure she developed these words like vile and evil and hateful and things like that towards her father because of the things that he's doing. And if you carry those words on through life, I'm sure they grow and they expand, and you kind of take on the persona of somebody that's vile and evil and hateful if you keep those words in your system. And I'm wondering if there's anything else that she can do for herself alone to reprogram those words so that she can, you know, understand that her father is sick indeed, and that he really doesn't have control of those things that he's done, and that it has absolutely nothing to do with her, that these are his things.
That's a great idea. The answer to that is a little longer than the program time we have left. But
okay.
I do think that's a great idea. She's going to be able to find the answer in the NLP program, though, at hypnosiscertified.com/NLP. She's going to be able to get access to the program that you are in, which is 10 hours of video, me demonstrating how to use NLP for 10 hours, and a 100-page ebook where I talk about NLP, and she can get certified. So hypnosiscertified.com/NLP is going to teach her the tools that she needs, but as she's going to find out, the answer is a little bit longer than just a few minutes, but there are all sorts of tools that she can use to, you know, help him, help herself, and help the situation.
Thank you for that. I appreciate it.
Sure.
Now, I'd like to say that our caller that called in earlier has called back in. He heard that I'd like him to give an example of how you have helped him. So, caller, go ahead and let us know what you have to say there.
Yes, Steve. I'm sorry for hanging up so quickly. I didn't know.
That's all right.
But anyway, I downloaded a package back in March, and I was going through a difficult time back in December. I was going through a divorce. So, you know, after a long stand of marriage, I was at an all-time low. So I downloaded some of your MP3s of divorce, overcoming divorce, feelings of depression, creativity, codependence, building charisma, becoming a better listener, developing I'm just trying to think some of these, abundance, forget them now,
nice.
Having inner peace, negotiating, and living in the here and now.
My goodness.
And it was a package. It was a very, you had some kind of special going, which I appreciated. So I thought, hey, you know, I'm going to listen to these. And it did me well. Did me very well.
Oh, wonderful. That is a great story. Thank you so much. And it sounds like you were working on quite a few things. So I wish you continued success. Thank you for sharing that.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you for calling back.
Thank you, caller. I do appreciate you calling back in. Can you do one favor and give a specific thing that you have found has changed for you?
Uh-oh. We have to get him to call back in.
Oh, I think that would have been nice.
I have a whole show just for him, actually. Next time we'll
there you
do that.
Go.
So he won't keep hanging up on us.
That's right.
Well, thank you for calling in, caller, twice. We appreciate it.
Yeah, we really do appreciate that. So that's exciting that there are all these different ways that people can get help. I was interested when you said that you use your own NLP, subliminals for fear of heights.
Fear of flying.
Fear of flying. That's right, fear of flying. So I suppose that any hypnotherapist that has any kind of recording out there could listen to their own and get help. So there's no conflict of interest or there's no issues with hearing your own voice and, you know, dispelling the myth or dispelling the thought that would actually work?
No, because I check out. I mean, I hear my voice and I just go right to sleep. So the rest is subconscious for me. I listen to my I don't listen to the subliminals for fear of flying, but I do listen to my hypnotherapy recordings for fear of flying. I listen to my platinum level hypnotherapy recordings, and they really work wonders for that. And I developed them for myself because after 9/11, I didn't fly for a year, and I thought this is ridiculous. Uh-huh. I was in California working with celebrities and so forth, helping them do all kinds of things, and regular everyday people like myself and working with all kinds of people, empowering them, and here I was afraid to fly for a whole year. So I said, this is going to end. So I created that recording for myself, and I started using it. Now it's become a hit worldwide. Now we have it available in 25 different recording genres. We have omniliminal, paralinear, daytime recording, subliminal recording, backward daytime, titanium. We have all kinds of different versions of it now available. But it all started with me being afraid to fly and trying to help myself, and it worked. And so it just takes you through a flight, and then, you wake up, you go to the airport in your mind, and you fly in your mind. You imagine all this, and then it works out well, and you get off the plane, and everything's fine. And by listening to that every night, you program yourself that, hey, wait a minute, it's okay to fly. I'm imagining it every night, but it's going well. And it turns out that physiologically, when we imagine doing something, our neurons actually fire off. So it becomes for our bodies like a run-through, like a rehearsal. So I was rehearsing every night flying. And so by the time I was ready to fly, I was so relaxed because I knew it was going to be fine. That doesn't mean it's going to be fine. That doesn't guarantee that the flight's going to be fine, of course. We're not mystically controlling the airplane. But what we are doing is programming ourselves to believe that it's going to be peaceful. And when you believe something and it actually works out, which it has every time I've flown since then, it just becomes even more powerful. But to get yourself back on that plane, sometimes you need a little bit of a boost. So that's where hypnotherapy can come in.
Well, I'm glad that you brought up 9/11. I was living in England at the time and was at work, and my coworkers took me in a room and sat me down and said that I had to see this. And, I watched the airplanes hitting the towers and whatnot. And, for days later, they played this over and over and over on the television. And in England, there is no censorship. I mean, you see everything, which is quite different from what you see in America. But what I came to understand is that there were a lot of children in America that were having serious issues because they kept watching this same news program over and over again, showing those airplanes hitting over and over again, and they thought that incident was, they didn't realize that incident was the same incident. They thought it was more airplanes hitting.
No.
Do you work with children?
I do.
Would hypnotherapy help children in this instance?
Oh, absolutely. I haven't worked with any children who are victims of that, of any fallout, post-traumatic stress disorder, or anything else from that. But I imagine they're out there based on what you just said. But hypnotherapy definitely works really well with kids because their minds are so open anyway. I mean, they believe in the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus. So, telling them that they can fly and it's going to be okay, or that life's going to be okay, they just believe it. Kids' minds are open. They're in hypnosis anyway. Their minds are programmed to be open to take in some information, constantly taking in information. They're able to learn languages easily. They're able to learn all kinds of things that it takes us forever to learn. So it's really great working with kids because you can tell them something and they believe it, which is all hypnosis is. I mean, if I could tell you to do something and you would just believe it, I wouldn't need to put you in hypnosis. So kids respond really well to an authority figure, and that's how I became introduced to hypnotherapy. My parents took me to a hypnotherapist when I was 12 years old, and I just believed what the hypnotherapist said. She was saying all great things and all wonderful things, and I just believed it, and it worked out fine. So I really don't think I even needed to be in hypnosis for that to happen because I was still a kid and I was still very, very open-minded. But hypnosis is just like just the icing on the cake with kids. You have an authority figure in an office and you put them in hypnosis. It's a slam dunk. So parents, if you want to take your kids to a hypnotherapist for anything, first of all, make sure the hypnotherapist is reputable. Second of all, realize that you're going to get some really powerful results.
Now, how old does the child have to, is there a minimum age?
There's not a minimum age, but they do need to understand the language. They need to understand what's being said, so in order to act on it. So I would say around 4 is probably a good cutoff. You know, anything beneath 4, and I'd be kind of leery of a parent bringing in a 3-year-old saying they need to change because the personality hasn't even really developed. Sometimes that may be the parent who needs to change. But 4 or beyond, language-wise, we're in the clear, and they'll be able to get the change they need.
Okay, and you mentioned earlier, Steve, binary, paralinear. What is that about?
Paralinear is a technology that my sound engineers created that we have patented for the next 75 years through the, not patented, but trademarked through the U.S. Trademark Office. So whereas our trademark doesn't hold in Canada or anywhere outside of the U.S., it does hold up for the next 75 years in the U.S. So paralinear is a very specific technology. We actually introduced that word to the English language. I actually own the word paralinear. So anywhere you see it, it's got to have a circle R after it, signifying my registered trademark. But it means a specific type of engineering designed to go into your subconscious mind to help you change. That's the, without getting into boring engineering details, that's the essence of it. I also hold a trademark on the word omniliminal. That's another word that I introduced to the English language, and as well as introducing the technology. The U.S. government will not give you a trademark on something unless you've actually created it. They don't want you taking words out of the English language that already exist, for example. So they're just types of technology that allow you to get the change you want by focusing. One of the techniques we use there is binaural tones, focusing binaural tones into your mind, and also alternating the message to the left and right ear. And different techniques that we have found are very helpful.
Very interesting. Now, you mentioned tones. Do you do tonal therapy? Is that what that is?
I'm not sure what tonal therapy is per se. That might be kind of like a catch-all phrase, I guess, for working.
Well,
with...
I work with somebody by the name of Jennifer McLean who actually sings tones.
Okay. You do not want to hear me sing. If I sang, you would change the room.
It doesn't have to be singing. No. I mean, it can be the striking of bells. It can be some instrument, something like that. But apparently it helps pretty much align your entire body, your soul, everything.
I believe that tones have power. And I did actually release... musical day timers, in which I didn't quite sing, but I sort of melodically chanted, I guess you could say, the positive messages, and we had some upbeat music behind it to accompany it. But I believe that specific tones definitely resonate in a certain way with the body. They help align certain chakras, for example, and they do all sort of metaphysical and physiological things to us that, that are for our benefit.
Oh, fantastic. Very good. Well, we have, I guess, about 8 minutes left in the show, and what I really want to do is ask you, is there anything that you would like to leave our listeners with?
Well, like I always say, from the song America, from the musical group America, Oz never did give nothing to the Tin Man that he didn't already have. So the point is that we already have everything we need. We don't need hypnotherapy or help. We don't really need anything. But every now and then, we need to be reminded of our greatness. And every now and then, we need a little bit of a jump start to get moving in the right direction. And that's where NLP and hypnotherapy and tone therapy and everything else comes into play. When we need a little kick in the rear, a little reminder of how great we are. So if you feel that you need that, then I encourage you to check out stevegjones.com. If you want to start helping other people, then check out hypnosiscertified.com /NLP if you want to look at NLP. And if you just want to, if you want to become certified in hypnotherapy, then hypnosiscertified.com will take care of you. We have the only fully online NLP certification that will take you from practitioner to master practitioner to trainer and allow you to train others. And you can learn completely online because after studying Ivy League schools with my doctorate in education, I found that that's where the future is. Total online delivery systems for knowledge. So that's what we're offering. So you don't need me, but if you need a little jump start, I can help you out. And if you want to help others, we can help you help others too.
Oh, that's fantastic. Thank you so much for that. Now, we do have a question that's popped up. What is conversational hypnosis?
Conversational hypnosis, and for that, I'll throw out another website, Ultimate Conversational Hypnosis. .com, Ultimate Conversational Hypnosis. No, I'm sorry, it's hypnosis2control.com. Sounds ominous, but it's actually very helpful. So at hypnosis2control.com, we have the program for conversational hypnosis. And aside from, people look at it as maybe a way to control people's minds and so forth, it's really a way to control yourself. Because once you start taking charge of yourself and learn how to do things that attract other people and cause them to respect you and so forth, then you have control. Then you've used hypnosis to control yourself and other people are attracted to that. So conversational hypnosis, however, aside from that website, conversational hypnosis itself is a body of knowledge that allows us to actually walk up to someone in the streets and put them instantly into hypnosis. So I don't use these techniques when working with clients because I think they want to spend more time with me than just 5 seconds when I'm, you know, putting them into a trance immediately, even though I could. I like to spend longer with them than that. But there are techniques that allow you to instantly induce hypnosis. And so when you get into techniques like this, you need to be very, very careful with them. So just be aware that you always use these techniques with someone who is, you know, who knows that you're going to use them. But again, hypnosis2control.com is a website where you can learn a lot more about that, or you can check out my YouTube videos on conversational hypnosis.
Thank you very much for that.
Sure.
So I want to give Donna the option to leave our listeners with something. Donna, do you have something that you'd like to leave the listeners with?
Well, this was very interesting. I'm very pleased to hear all this information, Steve. And I can say I have used hypnotherapy. I have used hypnosis. I have done NLP. And I encourage people to really look out for tools. They're really tools that can really help you design your life like a work of art. One stroke at a time, all the colors of the rainbow.
I like that.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yes. Thank you, Donna. So, again, I want to say thank you to you both, and I hope to have you both on this show in the very near future. And it's been an absolutely brilliant evening, and good night.
Thank you very much, Melanie.